Hello, my name is Elias Becker, and today I'll be talking about Bertolt Brecht and his socialist realism. Now, just to give a little bit of a context and a little bit of a summary as to what I'm going to be talking about today, I'm going to be discussing how Bertolt Brecht's life growing up informed his political views and therefore influenced his art over the course of his life. I'm going to go into detail about historical events during his life and how they led him to specifically believing in Marxism, and how from a very young age he dipped his hand in the arts with poetry before moving on to theater, specifically relating to his political beliefs. I discuss how these beliefs he had led to his theatrical concepts and methods, and how they are relevant to socialist realist theater during this time and in the current day. Additionally, I'm going to be talking a little bit about my own personal opinions on this social realist method and how they carry over into the modern day during our current social political climate. So with that, let's just get right into it. Brecht was a very distinguished individual in the realm of socialist realist art. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, social realism aims to draw attention to the real social political conditions of the working class, and it means to critique the upper class and those that enforce the power structure behind this divide in classes, which for Brecht was his main focus of his art, but we'll get a little bit more into that later. Brecht was born on February 10th, 1898, in Bavaria, Germany. During this time in Germany, we can see tensions rising as it builds up to the outbreak of the First World War, which is often described as the major turning point in history. What with Germany being on its way to being the world's leading economic power, along with the different social, political, historical events at the time, the buildup of all of these events truly left a huge mark on a young Brecht. And these events are the catalyst for what formed Brecht as the person and artist that we know him as today. While growing up, Brecht did live pretty comfortably. He was raised in a family of pretty decent social and material status. We can see in his poetry, written from just the age of 16, progressive ideas towards the concern for the middle and lower classes, or in all essentiality, the common man. Many of these poems that he wrote from such a young age carry anti-militaristic sentiments, as well as being just very against the concept of war and what it does to the working class. We see this specifically in his poem From a German War Primer. A section of it reads, "Those who take the meat from the table teach contentment. Those for whom the contribution is destined demand sacrifice. Those who eat their fill speak to the hungry of wonderful times to come. Those who lead the country into the abyss call ruling too difficult for ordinary men. When the leaders speak of peace, the common folk know that war is coming. When the leaders curse war, the mobilization order is already written out." His sentiments against the exploitation of the common man are very present in this poem, and he wrote several others like it. Going on further into Brecht's life, and this is something that I was actually personally quite shocked to learn about, as I had never heard about this before. After completing secondary school, he went on to continue higher studies in the fields of medicine and natural sciences. So he did stray away from the, I guess, in investing in the arts as a way to respond to the war at this time, because he actually, during the First World War, was mobilized and served in a military hospital. I am unsure as to whether this is a result of his own personal wants, maybe wanting to be hands-on in terms of helping people during the war, or whether this was simply him being pushed to do what other people were doing at this time. Maybe his parents discouraged him from taking the route of art, and instead he went into a more quote-unquote reasonable or realistic path in his life. After this, however, he did devote himself entirely to his literature and his art. From here on out, his socialist realist standpoint in his art actually ripened quite quickly. Brecht's recounts of the war were quite vivid, and it was very clear that it left a very, very harsh impression on him, as one could expect. Brecht saw that now that everybody was returning to their quote-unquote normal everyday lives after the end of the war, that it was mostly the common man that paid the price of the war. And how were they rewarded? by returning to a state of extreme capitalist exploitation. His guiding ideology after this point was a proletarian world outlook. He started heavily participating in becoming closer with workers in their progressive circles. And as he integrated himself into these circles rather than watching from afar, it sort of liberated him from this melancholic disposition that he had about the war, and instead drove him to action. This is why there is such a distinct artistic difference in his early works and poems versus his later ones. From this point on, Brecht went in 1924 to Berlin and actually stayed there until 1933. He worked at the, apologies if this is pronounced incorrectly, Deutsches Theater as a dramatist. And this portion of his life in Berlin was very important for the development of Brecht's life and his art. Here is where he deepened his knowledge of the proletarian worldview that I formerly talked about, specifically his views on Marxism. He delved very deeply into the life of the working class at this time, and even attended the Workers' Marxist School in 1928. It was at this point that he was kind of fully integrated as a Marxist due to how close he was with the working class at this time. It was sort of inseparable from his concept of life now. His time in Berlin was both the most productive and problematic of Brecht's life. It was here that he started to develop further his concept of the epic theater, which, for those of you who don't know, epic theater is defined as a form of didactic drama presenting a series of loosely connected scenes that avoid illusion and often interrupt the storyline to address the audience directly, with analysis, argument, or documentation. Rather than using a typical plot structure of a realist play, epic theater uses a episodic plot structure which contains very little cause and effect in between scenes. Brecht developed the term Verfremdung, or estrangement, which has an emphasis on reason and objectivity rather than pulling emotions out of the audience, rather than tapping into their empathy. Brecht believed that through approaching these social-political issues through a sense of logic and reason and analysis, rather than trying to tap into the audience's empathy and make them feel sorry for the characters, it was an easier way to call the audience to action. He believed that traditional theater, whilst making you feel sorry for the characters and making you feel bad about the plot, doesn't really give you any reason to go out and make change. People would simply leave the theater and say, "Oh, well, that was sad." Meanwhile, epic theater was made specifically to make the audience angry about the situations that were happening, to make them say, "Wow, that's a really, really messed up situation. We should be doing something about this." A quote from Brecht says, "The function of theater was to provide escapist entertainment to those with the assumed ideological belief that the world is fixed, given, and unchangeable." He rejects this notion and believes that theater shouldn't just be escapist entertainment. It shouldn't just bring comfort, it should be a call to change and action. In my personal opinion, this is best shown through his play, Mother Courage and Her Children. Continuing on, during this time period, Brecht was focused on raising attention against the rise of the Nazis at this time, specifically with his play Roundheads and Peaked Heads, specifically focusing on class vigilance. After the Nazis rose to power in 1933, one of the first marks of fascist regime against artistry was the burning of Brecht's books and the closing doors of the Deutsches Theater. After this, Brecht was forced to flee Germany. And he wandered in Austria, Switzerland, France, and the Scandinavian countries, staying longest in Denmark. And after this, he went to the United States, as he was deprived of his German nationality. And whilst this long period of time away from his home was hard for Brecht, it was not a withdrawal from the cause. He was still on the front lines of the anti-fascist front. And his exile was a very politically active one. In 1947, Brecht finally left the United States and returned to Europe. He eventually settled back in the German Democratic Republic and spent the last years of his life putting his plays on the stage and giving theoretical lectures on his socialist realist art. Until eventually, Brecht died on August 14th, 1956. From all of this, it is quite clear that the upper class and the capitalist exploitation of the working class tortured Brecht in his life. He swore the bourgeois as his sort of mortal enemy, and this was very apparent in both his poems and his plays. Today, we see Brecht as a great figure in social-political resistance in theater. However, I do want to speak a little bit about how that is carried over into the modern day. I do believe that epic theater is still performed quite a bit today, though not as much due to the rise of the Broadway industry. As Brecht said before, theater was tended to be viewed as a simple escapism entertainment. It wasn't really, you know, for change, and if it did address any political issues, it was more to bring awareness, maybe not exactly to enforce the call to change. And while I do agree with him on the front that we should be calling to action rather than simply bringing awareness to these sort of issues, I do think that the alienation effect that he created would not have such a great impact on people today, simply for the fact of everything is entertainment-based now in performance. At least specifically in the Americas and Western Europe it is. I can't say the exact same for Eastern Europe or any of the Eastern countries, as their theater is entirely different from ours. Additionally, I would say, you know, in terms of the current generation and the way in which we approach the idea of politics and social reform, it is actually, specifically with my generation, me being almost 23, it is quite empathy and emotion-based, I would say, in comparison to how Brecht talks about the call to change. You know, we as a society now tend to look at the way in which we call for change, specifically involving other people, as something where we should be caring about others, we should be worrying for their sakes, we should be considering them as equals to us. And I think, if anything, that is very, very empathy-based and emotion-based. And I don't disagree necessarily with the fact that we should be straying away from the specific idea of entertainment, but I don't know if necessarily the most efficient way to do that in our current day and age would be to go for a sort of alienation effect where we only look at the analysis and the logical arguments of this sort of issue that we have. Regardless of what it's talking about, it could be about queer rights, it could be about war, it could be about quite literally anything. If you don't tap into the emotional aspect of caring for others, which I think is like the center of what social reform really is, I don't think that it's going to be very, very successful in our current day and age. That is just my opinion, though. I do think at the time period, what Brecht did was very, very influential and different, and I am so very interested in his plays and the ways in which they worked at the time. And I definitely think that there are still many aspects of his epic theater that can be applied to theater for social political reform today. Just maybe not in the exact same way that it did at the time, specifically because of how capitalistic the theatrical industry has become in our modern day and age. Regardless of anybody's personal opinions on what epic theater or socialist realist theater does and how effective it is, there's no denying that it was a very, very strong turning point in theater, especially with its moves into avant-garde theater at this time. Regardless, there is no denying that Brecht was truly a brilliant mind in theater at this time.